go back into South Bend's history. 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, and what do you see? You see groups of people working to bring change to this city. They had different ideas of what that change should be. They didn't always agree. Yet, in every decade, there were groups of people for whom positive change was their life's work. This podcast, South Bend's Own Words, features the voices of people who helped make the city change. We'll share clips from the oral histories done by the Indiana University South Bend Civil Rights Heritage Center that tell a more complete history of the city. It's the story of many cultures, not just one. It's the story of South Bend. In the 1940s, professional baseball segregated players both by race and by gender. The All-American Girls Professional Baseball League and our home team, the South Bend Blue Sox, famously upset rigid gender discrimination and opened pro ball to white women. But only white women. So for a talented young athlete like Renelda Robinson, the opportunity to play ball came from a cafe owner on Birdsell Street in South Bend's West Side. Uncle Bill's all-colored girls' softball team brought young players on adventures across the Midwest. And for young Renelda, it was a chance to make great friends, see new places, and play high-quality ball. In 1987, Renelda sat down to talk about her time on Uncle Bill's team. A copy of that interview was donated to the Civil Rights Heritage Center by her daughter, Marguerite Taylor. In the interview, Renelda talks about her years in baseball spotlight.
Well, let's see, where do we want to start off? Just lots and lots of questions, so.
Well, I hope my memory is, after you get over 60, your memory is kind of bad.
Okay, as far as your team was concerned, did you guys have an organized league that you played in?
Yes, we played, the league was organized. We played in an organized league. We played in teams from Niles and Elkhart. We played several teams that were out of Elkhart, and we had a regular schedule that played. And I know when the Blue Sox were playing, they were the professional team that played at Playland Park. We weren't able to get in that. But I'm trying to think. Oh.
How old were you when you started playing for Uncle Bill?
When I started playing, I must have been about 16.
Very comparable to a lot of the girls who were playing in that All-American Girls Baseball.
Right,
there were quite a few young ladies that were playing.
Right. I was about 15, 16 when I started playing.
Was your league a mixed league? Or was it an all-black league?
Our team was all-black, but in fact, I can't recall of too many black teams that we played.
Okay.
Most of the teams we played were white.
When was the last year that you actually had a team in South Bend? What was the last year that you guys had a league for that?
I know I was playing in 42.
Okay.
Yeah, it had to be.
So it'd be like late 40s?
Yeah, it had to be before the 50s when I count that.
The Blue Sox then were still playing.
Yeah.
You guys were traveling then to Gary.
Right.
Playing.
Right. Okay. I played in Gary, and I had my one son, Marsh Allen, and I played the whole season. They didn't even know I was pregnant, and he was born in February, so I played up until August.
Some of the other teams I ran across was the Miles Laboratory Girls, Warsaw Elkettes, Logansport Logan Girls.
Now, I know we played so many times. I just can't remember, but I do remember teams came here. We played them, and we went there. I know we went to as far as Peoria, Illinois, and played the Caterpillars out of Peoria. I do remember that. Mm. And I don't. We played the Peoria Caterpillars for the big tractor company out of Peoria, Illinois.
There's usually a lot of money behind those.
Reason I remember. We never got any money. We just got our traveling expense to eat because in Peoria they had a red light district, and we coming from top, they had never seen anything like it. You know, we were sitting in the benches. And we were just kids, and you know, and boy, it was so amazing for us to see a street of prostitution, you know, in those days. Now, I guess it wouldn't be even something somebody turned their head at, but in those days, I never will forget that.
Okay, what were some of the parks that you guys played at?
We played at Lippincott. We played at Bendix. We played at Leaper. We played at all of the public parks here. Mm-hmm. Of course, we played up in Niles. Niles had a park up there. We used to go to Niles quite often. And it wasn't Thomasville. We had played in Thomasville, but mm-hmm. It wasn't Thomasville. It was another park that was, as you go to Benton Harbor, that we used to play.
Okay. Well, let's see. Now, you said the first few years you played that Sailor Furniture
Company
was your sponsor.
It was our sponsor, right.
And after...
Then we had a sponsor, I remember, Hydrock Cola, but it seemed like that company was out of Chicago.
Okay.
But we played for them, we were known as the Hydrock Cola. And what they did was buy our uniforms. That
right.
was what, you know, it sure. didn't consist of much other in the way of, you know, monetary, but they always bought our uniforms for us.
Okay, yeah. Now, was it after the cola or pop company mm-hmm. is when Uncle Bill then became the sponsor of the team the rest of the way?
No, now he was our coach. But he coached the team, but we had different companies that sponsored us. But he was always the coach. He had a restaurant on Burtzel Street. And his Aunt Della, we called him Uncle Bill, and everybody knew him. And Aunt Della was his wife. And many times I knew that he had, you know, taken his own money to take us someplace to play ball and things, you know. But...
Because it's always interesting when the write-ups are in the paper, the lead usually starts out Uncle Bill Harris's girls.
Yeah.
And they never mention it, you know, a specific sponsor. And
everybody just knew Uncle Bill. Everybody. If you would speak to any of the older people, that they knew that we were just known as Uncle Bill's team. Because he was, I know a lot of things, like I said, he did out of his own pocket, because all that the sponsor would probably do for us is to, you know, buy us uniforms for mm-hmm. the year or two. Now this, he had a team before this. I mean, he had the older girls that played, and he had an older sister that played, and Isabel Blanton played, and they were an older... Oh, they were much, much older than us, almost 10 to 12 years older than we were when we came on. And then, of course, after we came on, they, you know, they dropped out.
All the while that you played, was it all the fast pitch softball?
Fast pitch softball, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we never played slow pitch. All flat and fast pitch, yeah.
Okay, now you say you never received a salary for playing.
No.
You guys were playing it because you love playing the
right.
sport.
Right. Never received a salary at all. Never. We always say, I told you about Doris and I, they always would feed us when we travel. And that was where we got our kids, because Doris Howe, Doris and I were the two young, we were the youngest of, even in this group, we were the youngest. She was about a half a year younger than I, but anyway. And whenever we'd go, the only thing we got was a good meal. And the rest of we'd go to, like if it was any place and they had hamburgers and chicken, Doris and I'd always order chicken dinner. And she'd hunch me and I'd hunch her and she'd say, what you gonna get, you know? And I said, well, get chicken. Uncle Bill never said a thing. Even if that was coming out of his pocket, he never said a thing. But usually I know when we would go someplace, I'm quite sure the team that brought us there, you know, were the ones that paid for our expense there, you know, and all. But no, we never received any money. We just loved the game.
What kind of crowds did you guys draw?
We always had a good following. We always had, and of course, I guess maybe even when we went out of town or any place, if they knew a black girls team was coming, we always had a good crowd. Always. And I'm trying to think how many places we played where they had paid admission. Some places that had us to come did have paid admission into the park or where we were playing, but we always had a good crowd. We had a good following here in South Bend.
Now, you mentioned that oftentimes in the Kansas City Monarchs would come to town, you guys would usually play the Twilight game.
Right.
Now, was it when the Monarchs would come and play, would they be playing one of the hometown team, like the Hoosier Bears?
They play one of the hometown teams, right.
When was when were most of your games scheduled? You guys had a specific season that you played?
Yeah, we usually would start our practice in in May, and we'd go through August, you know.
So usually by the end of August, everything was pretty much wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. Usually through June, July, and August. Those were our playing times.
Of the players that you competed against, who were some of the better?
We had a team we played out of Elkhart. And they had two redhead sisters on. And we sure enjoyed playing Elkhart. I can't remember their names, but we used to play a team out of Elkhart, and these sisters were tough. They were redhead, and they were really good. But we come up against some real, you know, and I think a lot of times the competition makes you a better player sometimes, you know. And I think if we could have got into even a more structured course, all the coach we had, we did have some young people that, men, that would help Uncle Bill train us and teach us, but we never really had a professional structure, you know, of our team. So we played some really good teams that we knew, like the Caterpillars out of Peoria, they were really tough. So I don't know where they worked in the factory, in the Caterpillar factory, but boy.
Now I understand early on, you did a little pitching.
Yeah, I did a little pitching. I did. It wasn't my favorite spot. I loved center field, and I played first base and center field, but I did do some pitching.
Even had a no-hitter, at least one to your credit.
One, I could see that. Oh, goodness, I can remember. I thought I had a good season. You know, some of the seasons were good. But I used to pitch. And now let me tell you a little something else about me. I played on the all-boys baseball team at Pearly School. Now there's where you can get some good information from Mr. Welly, that was the principal. Of all of the teams we had, I was the only girl that played on the baseball team when I went to Pearly Elementary School right over on Eddy Street. And the boys wanted me on the team, and I played with them. And he tells that story right today whenever he's retired principal now. But whenever he talks about me playing on the boys' team.
Boy.
Right at Pearly School.
You figure you started somewhere around 39.
Yeah.
So you must have come close to playing pretty much for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad career.
Yeah. What?
If you had to pick out one thing that stands to your mind, and I know, you know, over a span of time like that, it's rather difficult to do. What's the thing that you remember the most, and or the fondest memory you have from playing?
I know what I did. I played ball on my honeymoon. That's what I did. I remember that's what I did just as well. And that's why I got married on August 21st of 1942. And we had a game scheduled for that Saturday. Do you know that's where I took my honeymoon? I took my honeymoon in Chicago so I could play baseball. That's where I was, out on the field. I sure did. I sure did. We played baseball and we played softball in Chicago on my honeymoon, and I played ball. That's where I was, out on the field. My husband was in the stand. I never, yes, sure did.
Well, that's great.
But I think the thing I enjoyed too a lot was just meeting the different people and trying. So just the sport itself was just enjoyable. Just going to play.
Over the last 3 years, professors, staff, and students from the University of Notre Dame reached out to community partners about a new project called Foundry Field. They're building a new diamond on South Bend's southeast side with a focus on honoring local baseball history, particularly marginalized players. The Civil Rights Heritage Center is one of the partners contributing historical research. Learn more about the project and its focus on local history and art at foundryfield.org. South Bend's Own Words was created by Kevin Tin Marsh and me, George Garner. This episode was produced by Natalie Villalobos and by me through the Indiana University South Bend Civil Rights Heritage Center. Visit us and learn how IU South Bend students inspired the transformation of a once segregated South Bend swimming pool. We give guided tours and offer public events that show how the history of oppression echoes through this city today. See and hear more history, plan your visit, or share your thoughts about this episode, all at crhc.iusb.edu.